call the Foo Button.
Welcome to the Foo Button Podcast, where at any time it could go haywire. Now here are your hosts, Jay Surf and Twan.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Foo Button. I am Jay Surf, and I am with my good buddy, Twan. What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot, just hanging out on a nice Friday night.
Yeah, man. Welcome back to the Foo Button. I feel like it's been a little bit.
It has been a little bit. I think what we recorded before Christmas last.
Yeah, man. The holidays are just like so fucking long sometimes.
I hear you, man. And we're still in January.
We're still in January, man. You know, it's pretty wild. But what are you drinking over there? What do you got going on tonight?
I got a nice little bottle of Corona.
Ooh.
So what about yourself?
NFL, right?
NFL, always.
No fucking lime. Unbelievable. I got a little cannabis seltzer here. It's a blackberry seltzer. So it's pretty
cool.
Nice and crisp and refreshing. And nice. Cheers, man. I'm happy to be doing this.
Cheers. Glad to be back.
Missed it for sure.
It has been a bit, so it's good to get back on it. I think this is, what, number four?
This is episode number four, and it's kind of cool. And people are listening to it, and we really appreciate that because, you know, we enjoy doing them. It's just kind of a fun thing for us to do.
For sure.
What'd you listen to today?
I was kind of, you know, prepping for this one and thinking about it. I had the day off of work today, so I had a little bit of time to myself. And I had pulled out a couple bootlegs that I recorded back in 98 from Margaritaville in Key West during a meeting of the minds when I went. It was three nights of shows there that we went to, and this one was Peter Mayer's band playing, and Fingers and Bobby G joined them.
Fingers, baby. The heart,
oh, man.
Fucking goat, baby.
It was, I'll tell you what, they played three nights in a row, and this night, Bobby G came out, Nadir was there, Tina was there, Johnny Lovell was there. It was, you know, a couple people just kept coming in and popping up and off stage. It was just a fun night. It was kind of like they just really didn't have a plan. They just said, hey, we're just going to get together, and if you want to come up and do a song or two and sit back down and hang out. And it was just almost like an open mic night. You know, it was a lot of fun. I remember we were right in the front, and it was a blast. You know, his wife at the time, Amanda, was there. She jumped up on stage and, you know, dancing and got to hang with Fingers a little bit, you know, after the show. That's where I got a cool little piece of memorabilia from him.
Oh, cool.
So, so it was cool. But yeah, it was, you know, they went back and forth, played a bunch of Peter songs and, you know, mixed in a bunch of Fingers tunes, and they did a few covers and just a few songs that really stick out in my mind from that night. Just I got to get these things up because, to be honest with you, no one's ever heard these because, like I said, I recorded them with a little mini disc player that I had there and burned them onto CDs, and that's where they've been. So they're pretty special to me just because I was there and I remember it so vividly.
Yeah. Do you think Marvin Gardens was there?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't there. Okay.
No. So he was early. He was earlier in the week because they played the Street Fest there. Him and Fingers and Bobby G.
Yeah. No.
So and the Land Sharks came out, and you know they played with them with Gary Rowland and a couple guys from the band. So it was this cool little thing on Green Street they did, and it was a lot of fun.
Now that sounds pretty awesome, man. And you know, we've kind of mentioned this a little bit before, but, you know, you were really kind of there in, I guess, the golden age in some ways of these, like, pop-up shows because, you know, the 90s were really when, you know, the Margaritavilles and the restaurants and all those kinds of places, the clubs were, you know, kind of popping up and coming out. And, you know, not just Jimmy, but a lot of the Reefers, as you just said, would play a lot of these places and then the places around it, right?
Yeah, you know, it was this was a little bit different, obviously, because it was during Meeting of the Minds.
Mm.
And so, gotcha. You know, a lot of music, you know, a lot of music and a lot of these musicians played there, you know, a lot of the reefers kind of in between stuff. But, you know, Fingers, I've seen a handful of times outside of, you know, where he's just kind of played on his own, you know, where some of the other band members were playing kind of in between show nights.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of more in like the later 90s.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fingers I've caught in a couple cool places. You know, New Orleans with another harmonica player named Jumpin' Johnny Sanson.
Now, was that at a club or was that at the Margaritaville restaurant? Or
that was at Margaritaville restaurant at the cafe in New Orleans.
I got to say that the Margaritaville in New Orleans was probably my favorite one. I mean, it's not there anymore. But man, God, that place was cool, man. It was like funky and authentic, and they had the tire swing bars upstairs, and the balcony was kind of like lopsided. And I'll never forget, like on the men's door, they had the like the hand painted, some New Orleans artist like hand painted Jimmy in like a plum velvet suit smoking a joint. And that was just like the whole door. I don't know if you remember that, but
you know, I don't remember a whole lot about that place. You know, we were there.
I wonder why.
We were there. You know, we went for Jazz Fest in '98, and it was, you know, the first night I went. Peter's band was playing. Jimmy showed up. The second night we went back, Club Trini played and Jimmy showed up. The third day, Jimmy played Jazz Fest.
Oh, cool.
Went back to there that evening, and I think his name was Moise Allison.
Okay.
He was kind of a piano player, if I recall. Jimmy didn't come on with him, but he was actually there that night hanging upstairs with Ed Bradley. And then the fourth night is when Jumpin' Johnny and Fingers played there.
That's awesome.
So it was just, it was four nights of just, I mean, stacked,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not a real big back-to-back drinker, like, you know, back-to-back nights.
Yeah,
and
me either, yeah.
I did four nights in a row, and so I remember the the beignets at Café du Monde.
Yeah.
And a few other little things about New Orleans, but, I mean, we pretty much were in, you know, the rest, or in the café every night.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't remember a whole lot of the decor, man. I remember the stage, but not a whole lot of the decor.
That place was awesome.
So, but it was cool. I remember, I mean, it was definitely a cool vibe to it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And unfortunately that shut down, and, you know, something like that's probably never going to really come back.
No, I don't think so.
No. Cool, man. Yeah. But, I mean,
what about you? What'd you jam out to today?
I got to say, you know, when I was listening to Jimmy today, I was listening to The Boarding House, you know,
awesome show.
It's just an awesome show. And I think, I just wanted to really hear Jimmy say, you know, oh man, what's going on with my hair tonight? He's like, man, I use Fingers Rock and Roll shampoo. And it just, I don't know why, it just makes me happy, you know, every time. And I mean, it's just a phenomenal show, and, you know, the banter and just the set list, and, there's something like real funny. Jimmy's like, what does he say? He's like, yeah, we're out in like the Midwest there, for a little bit. And it got real weird because people would request songs right after we did them. And he's like, man, the Midwest is only good just for growing pot and granola, you know?
Yeah. Those old shows, I mean, you can't beat
them. No, you can't. Some guy yells at him. He's like, oh, we're on the radio. And Jimmy's like, oh, we're on the radio. But
no, the banter and those things are just, phenomenal.
And I think that show's on YouTube. So if anybody's listening, you can head to YouTube and actually catch The Boarding House I have to say, I think it's probably top five bootleg for me, if not top three.
Totally.
And the quality of the audio is just unbelievable.
You know, it's funny because you go through a lot of those old bootlegs and there's some just have like, you know, really bad audio. If it's like an audience recording and it sounds like they're like up in the lawn or something.
Yeah.
But man, some of those early ones just have, you know, those radio shows they did just have such amazing audio to them.
Yeah. If the audio quality is there, I will download it, you know, track by track. If the audio is not there, I would just kind of listen to it in the window a little bit, just to kind of listen to some banter and stuff like that. But the audio quality would have to be there in order for me to, you know, download it actually to my computer and put it on my iTunes and put it on my iPod. You know, they don't even, they don't even make the iPods anymore.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. I texted Tuan the other night because I'm like, man, my iPod charger broke. And I'm like, I just found two or three on eBay and I ordered them because my iPod is just filled with all of my Jimmy bootlegs from like almost the last 20 years of my life. And I just can't imagine not having that iPod, you know, being able to charge because they discontinued them.
Right.
And for me to have that in my car.
Just on play always.
Yeah. I mean, or just to have that option because I when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh man, that would like really suck. So I don't know, man. Maybe
you better prepare, man. One day that thing's going to die on you.
then I think a little piece of me is going to die.
Yeah. You're funny. So, you know. Greg Fingers Taylor. That's what we're here about.
Oh yeah.
You know, we've been talking about this from the beginning,
man.
And you know, we definitely said we wanted to do an episode dedicated to him.
100%.
You know, we're both huge fans of him and his music,
huge.
And his sound and what he brought to, you know, to Jimmy's band. And you know, when I look back at his career with Jimmy, like, you know, yeah, it was Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefers, but, dude, you know, the sound that he had was just irreplaceable.
Dude, it really is. Yeah, I mean, it's to me, you know, I don't think Jimmy has as long of a career or he's as successful without Fingers.
Yeah, no. I think he added something. And I mean, even like when they go back to, you know, when they talk about first meeting and some of the things that, you know, that Greg recalls that, you know, Jimmy said was, you know, I really like what you do and I need someone to do some of the solos. You know, I'm not a lead guitarist. And and it just created this sound, you know, awesome. And it really brought this dynamic that I think gave, you know, Jimmy's music definitely a different sound to it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Greg, you know, Fingers is rooted in like the deep blues, you know, and for me, the blues is just so real, you know, there's such a kind of real emotion to it, and it has soul, and it's you know, emotional, and it's cool too, and it's fucking edgy, you know? And I think because of that element, it really gave Jimmy's sound and his, and you know, even kind of like I guess the aesthetic of like there was a coolness and an edginess to it.
It's hard to describe.
It is.
You know, like when you hear a song today that you heard for so long with Fingers on it, and obviously there's, you know, half of his catalog.
I can't do it.
It's still good, you know, and I think there's a place for it.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same. You know?
Here's the thing, right? Like, I listen to a lot of music, and obviously I listen to a lot of Jimmy, you know, and I have my, you know, majority of my life. But now, like, if I'm going to pick and choose and I'm going to listen to Jimmy, and I'll do the studio stuff, but if I'm going to, like, listen to the live stuff, if I'm going to choose, it has to include Fingers.
For sure.
And it just has that, yeah, it's really unexplainable in some ways. Like, you're right, though. If you listen to some of the songs now or even within the last 10 or 15 years, it's just a little different.
No, absolutely. You know, if you have to pick one, though, I mean, I'm with you. You know, I want to hear stuff with the harmonica in there, you know, and him just blowing that, you know, blowing the crap out of it.
Yeah. So how did you, based on your research, you know, obviously there's that kind of famous story of when, you know, Fingers met Jimmy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, reading through some stuff over the last few days, you know, there's actually a plaque at Southern Mississippi, the University of Southern Mississippi, that's dedicated to them. Obviously they were both grads from there. And, you know, talks about how they met, and, you know, Fingers was a sophomore. Jimmy had already graduated, and there was a place there called the Hub, which was kind of a, you know, the meeting place of in the university. I think they had, like, the post office was in there. It was a cafeteria. Yeah. It was almost like the Union Center. And Jimmy came through and played there. And Fingers would play, you know, anywhere he could.
Yeah.
And, you know, so one night he went in there and, you know, here comes, you know, Jimmy playing. And I guess he sat down and, you know, watched his set. And then they talked a little bit afterwards. And
yeah,
he said, you know, I want to get up and play with you. And it was just this instant chemistry there.
Yeah.
And they played, you know, I think Jimmy really liked the sound that it created with him. And I think they played a couple more nights there. And
yeah.
You know, Jimmy's like, I want to go on the road. And, you know, obviously the rest is history. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit of what that,
sure.
You know, what that, the story goes.
Because I think I'm pretty sure even though they met at the Hub then, like, I don't think Fingers was really with Jimmy until a little later on, because, you know, he was with the High Steppers, Larry Raspberry and the High Steppers for a bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to my understanding is that they met and then Jimmy was down in Key West and had a little time had gone by, you know, and they were both kind of doing their thing because, you know, for a while, Jimmy was also just doing a solo thing. So they were doing their own thing. And then, you know, Jimmy was like, I want to, you know, put the band together and reached out to Greg and invited him down to Key West. Fingers went down, you know, was looking all over for Jimmy and, you know, finally found Jimmy. And I guess, you know, Jimmy was just, you know, out of his mind, you know, drunk or high or whatever. And, you know, Greg was like, hey, Jimmy, you know, I made it. And, you know, Jimmy was like, who are you? I don't know if he was fucking with them, if he was just so blasted out of his mind that he didn't really, in that moment, remember who he was.
Right.
So that's kind of the story that I understand. And I think even down there, Fingers started his own little band before he was really touring around with Jimmy. But obviously he appears on the album in 73, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of when he joined, I think, officially joined, you know, the band. I don't think he was touring yet. At least from, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen, it looks like, you know, he appears on White Sport Coat that got released in 73.
Man, I fucking love that album.
But then it goes on to say, you know, his first year of touring was 75. So,
okay.
You know, but somewhere in the, you know, 73 to 75, until 2000,
yeah.
You know, he was with Jimmy. So,
yeah, what a run, you know, people, I mean, that's basically 30 years. Give or take,
yeah.
Right. I mean, that is a 30 year healthy run, you know, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, Songwriters Online, we do, you know, we do Fingers Friday, you know, obviously that's really cool that we're doing that. And I've been doing that for a while now, but, you know, people will always like leave a comment, or some people will message me, you know, on whatever Facebook Messenger, and they always ask me the same question. And the same question is,
wait, let me guess.
Yeah.
Have you seen Fingers Live?
You fucking dick. No, I haven't. And that's because you're an ageist. The same question is, fucking, why did Fingers and Jimmy break up? You know? Why did Fingers leave the band? And my response is the same every time, and it's, one, I have no idea. The only people who know are Jimmy and Fingers. You know, like I have no idea, but I always say that, you know, 30 years is really not too shabby in the entertainment, in the music business. For those two guys to be together for that long, you know, all the way from the beginning, I think is pretty cool and pretty impressive.
And they made some amazing music.
Amazing music. I mean,
you know,
each decade was a little different, but dude, I mean, 30 years, I mean, that's pretty cool.
You know, for me, like when I was fortunate, you know, I saw, you know, my first show was in 92,
right?
In 92. Yeah. And, you know, I saw Fingers all through the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, but when I think of, you know, all the shows that I saw him at with Jimmy, you know, for, you know, full band shows, I was also fortunate that, you know, enough to see him probably 10, 12 times outside of playing with Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was, you know, three nights at Margaritaville with Peter and Robert Greenwich, sure. If it was, you know, if it was Fingers at, you know, I saw him at this place called Skipper Smokehouse in Tampa, I think two or three times.
Oh, cool.
You know, those are really cool shows. Trying to remember who he played with. Patrick Foy.
Okay.
He had a little band and Fingers joined him one night. And then I saw him play on Halloween, and I've sent you a couple of the pictures where he's just or dressed up like a court jester.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween show. And Skipper's is like this. It's a smokehouse. It's like a fish smokehouse.
Yeah.
And it's in Tampa. It's like an old building. And you walk through the bar and you walk outside, and they have kind of like a patio courtyard with like this corrugated roofed, you know, structure covering this little, you know, small stage, probably about the size of what they have at, you know, Margaritaville and Key West.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of dirt gravel. And it was just, everybody just kind of hanging out. And, you know, he played for a while, and I remember they did intermission. He came out and he was dressed in that, you know, in that jester outfit, which was hysterical.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've gotten to see him in some pretty cool places, you know, some other shows he did outside of, you know, there was one night in Tampa with Peter and Mac, and, you know, I've seen him play with A1A here in Orlando. Like, that was like, I think the first time that I saw him play alone, and little place here just outside of Orlando, you know, at this park.
Yeah, that's good.
So, you know, I've been fortunate enough to see him in those settings, which, you know, you see him in a different light than what you see him at the big shows.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the big shows, I mean, he's got a, you know, he's kind of, I don't want to say handcuffed, but you know, he has to, you know, go with the show, and it's, you know, the set list and the show and all of that, obviously.
No, for, you know, definitely. And, so yeah, I was lucky to see him, you know, in those scenarios. And, you know, but when I think about really, if I could pick one era that I would have loved to been there, it was probably during that 78 to 80 years, you know,
yeah.
During you had to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see him. I mean, I guess you can jump into like Live by the Bay too. But like those shows, he's just electric, you know. So yeah, it's cool. I wish you could have gotten to see him play, because it's you know, you're such a big Fingers
I
fan.
I am. Yeah, I know.
And it's unfortunate that you get to see him. You know, you only have gotten to see him in videos and stuff.
Yeah. And I feel fortunate that, you know, there's stuff online, you know, with the videos and, you know, even with the audio, you know, having access to the bootlegs and stuff like that. I mean, we're really kind of spoiled in a lot of ways. You know, whoever these people were, who, you know, put this stuff together and were able to record this stuff and capture it. I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
It is, you know, in those couple times that I've seen him, you know, I gotta say, you know, I was friends with somebody in the band for, you know, a decent amount of years, and I was kind of around, and so some of these band members, I think I've said it before, you know, is the band starts seeing you around a little bit more often and kind of with one of the other band members, it's, you know, they treat you a little bit different. Nothing, you know, it's not like we're hanging out and stuff like that, but, you know, they know you're friends with somebody. Yeah. And but Fingers was always just so gracious. I mean, I remember some of the shows, I mean, Key West, you know, and you know me, man, I'm shameless.
You are.
I love collecting stuff.
So fucking shameless.
You know, I will never shy away from, you know, asking for a pick or a set list, or it's just, I don't know, I enjoy it. And, you know, and that night was no different. I asked him if I could get a signed harmonica. Yeah. And, you know, he was sitting at a little table right there in you know, in Margaritaville at the restaurant. And after the show, just signing autographs. And, man, he hooked me up, signed one for me. And it was just, it was cool. You know, I got a couple pictures of me with him, of him signing it. You know, it was just kind of cool to have that. I don't want to say documentation, but, you know, I guess proof that, you know, it's a real thing. You know, I have a bunch of records and CDs signed, and, you know, they were performers at the end. And, you know, so when they would play a show like this, it wasn't like they were whisked away in a van. You know, they hung out, they sold their CDs and they talked to people and take pictures, and, you know, the same way Mac and Peter and all these guys do. So it was just, he was just a super cool, nice guy.
So you mentioned that you had some of these shows on bootleg CDs, correct?
Yeah.
Do you have them also on a Laserdisc?
I don't. And if I did, I'd have no way to play them.
I love busting your balls about that. It's so funny. But yeah, man, I mean, what would you say is one of your favorite kind of live banger tracks that kind of features, I mean, they feature Fingers, right? I mean, majority of the music, features Fingers, but like what are some of your favorite, you know, Finger jams live?
I think at the top of my list, it's probably Tampico.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when we were talking earlier, we kind of touched on it. I don't think we really told each other too much of what we were thinking, just to kind of keep it more of a surprise between us. But, you know, we both said it. The jam on Tampico is just, and there's so many songs that he's on that just, it's not the same without it. But that one's probably my top. Obviously Big Rig, I mean, he wrote it. It's, you know, pretty cool that, you know, it's funny because we talk about how long he's been with Jimmy and all this stuff, and the two songs that they've done, well, you know, Jimmy recorded Big Rig, but Fingers wrote it. They co-wrote Miss You So Badly. Great song. And I think that's about it that they've had. I think Jimmy co-wrote and recorded Some White People Can Dance with him, along with Utley and a couple others. If I got to pick one of the great eights, I mean, dude, Pirate with Fingers and Amy Leon, it is probably my favorite version of that song, you know? And even when Fingers left and Amy kind of took over those solos, on saxophone. It was still great, but man, you combine that sax and the harmonica on that song, and it was just, I mean, it was lights out. You know, I love the ballads too, man. You know, like Coast of Marseille is, I mean, it's a smoker, and same with Slow Boat to China. You know, he could just, man, he could just wail. I don't know. There's something about the harmonica that, of all the instruments out there, I mean, guitar is probably the closest where it becomes a part of you and you can feel it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. To me, a harmonica is like such an emotional, that it's just this emotional
it
instrument.
Is, yeah.
But that's what I would probably say is, you know, some of the ones that really stand out in my mind. I mean, he touched so many songs, but,
dude,
you know, when I think about it, those are my bangers.
You mentioned Coast of Marseille, and it had to be maybe 2 or 3 months ago, or maybe less than that. I can't remember. I post so much. I don't know. Is that I posted a version of him and Jimmy just solo for the Coast of Marseille. So in my opinion, it's probably the greatest version of that song. I want to say it's from 78 in LA. Does that sound right? You know what version I'm talking about?
I do. I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember the year of it.
Pretty sure it's Universal or something. LA, I think it's 78, but
I sat there on the coast of Marseille. Thoughts came by like wind through my head. Could it be to feel you again? Could it be to feel that way again? Would you be remembered?
Yeah, man. I mean, Coast of Marseille is just phenomenal. Ballad wise, I think, you know, Biloxi.
So good.
You know, I mean, Pirate Live, as you mentioned, I mean, it just takes on its own life. I think I posted that the other day as well. But I mean, absolutely, just like fast-paced bangers for me has got to be, I mean, you said Tampico Trauma. We mentioned that earlier when we were, you know, talking a little bit. And I can't listen to that song without fingers. You know,
right.
And that's not a diss to, you know, the reefers after him. It's just that song. I want to hear the harp. And then,
dude, continue.
I know that you are considered the JB Vinyl GOAT, and rightfully so. But I think I might. I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn here, but I think I might be in the running for GOAT of setlist, because I have, for whatever reason, a great recall of when songs were played and what years they were. And I don't know.
I will definitely give you that.
That's right. Hey, man, I'll take what I can get.
You get the Golden Buffett Bootleg Setlist Nerd
Sweet,
Award.
Man. But you're the one. Hey, man, you're the one with the folder of like 68 fucking set lists printed out.
Hey, shut up.
Man, I still got I got the one you gave me, and it's framed right here.
It's on loan from the Smithsonian.
What year was this? This was the one I'm looking at here, man, is 96. And
what show is it?
Hold on. It's Palm Beach, and it's 96. And I got to say, man, I think I picked this set list out when I was at your house.
You went through all of them, and you picked that one out.
That's right. Okay. And I understand why I picked it out, because real quick, not to get us off topic, but you got Migration on here. You got Slow Boat to China. You got Fruitcakes. That's cool. You got Miss You So Badly. Cuban Crime of Passion. Let's see. First Look, Gypsies in the Palace, Banana Republics. And then the encore is Brown Eyed Girl, which is, yeah, it is what it is, and Flora Days, and then He Went to Paris. So I definitely...
Brown Eyed Girl with Ralph McDonald, I can take that any day of the week.
Yeah, I guess Ralph would have still been there, right, in 96?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I agree, man. That song was really great with him on it.
Great set list, though.
That is a phenomenal set list. So, yeah.
You know, one song that comes to mind, too, is Livingston Saturday Night.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Livingston Saturday Night. And let's not forget about Landfall.
It's funny because we talked about this earlier, you know, before we started recording. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, I think we posed the question to each other and trying to pick out your favorite Fingers, a song that he appears on or plays on. It's like trying to pick out your favorite Jimmy song. You know, you realize like how much they crossed and how many songs he was involved with of making that sound for them, you know, for Jimmy.
And dude, so, I mean, let's not forget about, you know, the song that our podcast is based on, and that's The Fool Button. The best is in The Fool Button and Livingston Saturday Night, there's kind of like that call out by Jimmy, right? You know, Livingston Saturday Night's Where's That Harpoon Man? And then Fool Button is in a flash, a man with a hat and a harmonica stormed the stage. The crowd went berserk. The band said, what a jerk. And he went into a blues rampage. And then Fingers just absolutely just fucking just shreds the shit out of it.
He just, you know, when I look back at some of the big shows that, you know, I saw him play at on tour, and, you know, he'd come out in a tank top, and dude, by the end of the show, like, he was just drenched.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wouldn't just stand there and play. Yeah. Like, you know, when he'd get down on his knees and just like full on just wail.
Yeah.
You know, it was a spectacle. Yeah,
I think
sure.
a lot of those guys are sweating a lot, especially in the 70s and 80s from the amount of alcohol and drugs they were doing.
You know, so, I mean, if you look at his career with Jimmy, I mean, like, you know, we touched on it earlier, and it's like, you know, he toured from 75 to 99. You know, obviously there was, you know, a breakup there. He left the band. Some say, you know, Jimmy let him go, you know, like you said, man. You know, those guys know, you know, who knows.
I've heard things about both sides, and it's like, I don't, who fucking, I mean, look, man, humans are complicated, you know, and relationships are complicated. So who knows? I'm sure just like any relationship, there's highs and lows, you know? So,
you know, he took some time off. I know he did some other music and played with some other people, you know, throughout those years. But he did come back, I think, for three shows in 06. He came back for another show in 07 and another show in 08. Now, he didn't play full shows, you know, sprinkled in, played 3-4 songs in the majority of these shows. So, but it was cool that he, you know, that Jimmy had him back and they played a couple of those tunes you know. And then obviously, you know, he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I think in 2011
around
or so.
There. But don't forget too, man, in 06, before he came on those, you know, couple, you know, shows and did a couple songs, he was on the Take the Weather With You album.
Yeah, he came back in 06 for Take the Weather With You. Yep.
I gotta be honest. I mean, they're probably two of my favorite, you know, post 2000s Jimmy albums. You know, Take
great.
The Weather With You is a pretty solid album. He's got some really great some covers on there, you know, the way that he picked songs and, you know, Fingers on it. You even got Mark Knopfler on there from Dire Straits.
Writing
songs and playing, you know, so I think it was I even think Billy Payne might be on that as well from Little Feat. So Jimmy just kind of brought them all kind of in, and I was really happy to see that, you know, that kind of happened back in 2008. And then obviously a couple of years later, Greg, you know, became sick. So to me, I think it really shows that, you know, at least they were able to come together.
Yeah. And even, I mean, was it last year when Jimmy started playing Everybody's
yeah,
on
that
the
was
phone?
Last, 2 summers ago. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I know Chris
Lauber. Yeah.
Chris Lauber. Yeah. You know, his photos ended up on there and they did a cool little tribute. You know what I mean? I thought that was pretty touching, you know?
Definitely.
He meant a lot to Jimmy and the band. You know, and Jimmy definitely, I feel, recognizes, you know, the contribution that, you know, Fingers brought to who he is and what his sound was.
Yeah, man. And then, I mean, obviously, you know, I posted today and just encouraged people to, you know, go and listen to Fingers solo stuff. Like, obviously, him with Jimmy is probably the GOAT, right? I mean, it's awesome. It's really special. I think for me, those two are like almost like a Robert Plant and a Jimmy Page, you know, like just meant to be and meant to create this sound and this music that will last forever.
It's, you know, his solo stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
phenomenal.
His first album's what, 84 with the Harpoon Man?
I mean, you got Harpoon Man, you got, you know, Chest Pains. What else do you do?
Yeah,
New Fingerprints, Old Rock and Roller.
The greatest.
I mean, he even had a greatest hit. Yeah, greatest
hits
honest, album.
Man, I love this greatest hits name. Hotel Maids, Highways, and Honky Tongs.
I mean, the cover itself, you know, I'm looking at it right now, and, you know, he's sitting, you know, they're in a living room. You know, he's sitting on this two-person couch blowing a harp, and his wife at the time, Amanda, she's in like this leather French maid outfit, you know, like cleaning up the place. The inside cover is him and Amanda, and I don't know if this is Steven or if this is Brett. Brent. This would actually be Hunter, right?
Yep,
is that Hunter, the other brother?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what year was this. Let's take a look
98.
Here. This 98. Is 90, yeah. 98. So, so they got the baby in there, just like a little family photo, super cute. And then the back cover is the best. Amanda's kneeling on it, like shoving a Twinkie in his mouth. Holding a feather duster and a very short French maid outfit.
Great.
Just classic.
Yeah,
classic
I think his
Fingers.
Last full album, studio album, was Hi-Fi Baby, and that was 2003.
And you know, it's so, you know, through the years of obviously being a Buffett fan, I've really appreciated the other artists in the band. And you know, I don't know if everybody out there has listened to any of the solo stuff that any of the band members have done, but I mean, they all came in with a pretty amazing, you know, solo career, or through the years had put out some solo stuff. And, you know, Mac was there, you know, Mac's got some amazing stuff that he's done. All his stuff is amazing, in my opinion. Same with Peter Mayer. You know, with Peter, Jim, and Roger Guth. Roger's got a couple great albums. Obviously, Fingers. Mm-hmm. You know, Robert and Michael Utley have some really good stuff out there. He's got just amazing musicians around him. You know, these aren't just, you know, studio guys or on the road guys. I mean, everybody in their own right is just, you know, phenomenal musicians. But, you know, you really hear what they play when they're not with Jimmy and what their style of music is. And when you listen to Fingers stuff, I mean, it's bluesy, it's rock and roll, you know, it's got, you know, bluegrass to it. I mean, there's so many different, you know, genres that he was into, you know, kind of that hillbilly country, and it's just, It's amazing. If you get a chance, listen to some of his solo stuff.
I got to share my all-time favorite Finger story that I've heard, you know, from some pretty reliable sources.
We heard this one together.
No, this is a different one. You want to tell the fumble, you can.
You tell your story, then I'll then you can tell the fumble story.
Okay. My understanding is that one night, obviously after a show, this was like probably this was in the 70s. You know, people are hanging out at the arena or whatever, and you know they're partying and drinking and all of that. And Fingers gets the idea to, I think the way that I understood it is, take Jay Spell in the parking lot and let him drive.
Yeah. For all of you that don't know, Jay
was blind. Yeah, and he was the keyboardist, and he was blind and an amazing musician. Right? I mean, just unbelievable. If you go back and listen to some of the bootlegs, and even you had to be there. Jay Spell is on those shows, and he was just great. But yeah, as Twan mentioned, he was blind. So Fingers thought it would be funny to let him drive around in the parking lot, you know? And I think it was like Fingers, Jay Spell, who's behind the wheel, maybe like Harry Daly, and somebody else. And they were just all, you know, high and hanging out, just driving around in this empty parking lot with Jay Spell behind the wheel, just like terrified, you know? And they were just all having a hoot. And, I don't know. To me, that's just like one of those funny, classic, like you had to be there moments, and just some of the, you know, shenanigans and shit that, you know, as fans, we love to hear about, you know, especially during that time period.
I'm sure there's so many stories that we haven't heard, that are just, just crazy that.
Totally. But yeah, I mean, what about the fumble?
I'll let you tell that story. You can probably remember it a little bit better than I can.
I mean, I just know that it was the band, and it was a late night check-in, and there was a lot of cocaine involved, and somebody passed it on to Fingers, and it was like his job to get it upstairs into the room like real quick. But they had been partying on the bus all day and all night to get to the hotel. And he like tripped over his own feet and dropped this huge thing of cocaine, and it just went all over the hotel lobby.
And he like jumped out and like started snorting.
And the other guy started jumping out. And man, I mean, it was the 70s, man. I mean, that stuff was just so what you did, you know? And it was just so funny.
And that story came from a pretty reliable source of somebody that was there. I'm so, but it was told to us in a group setting. I've obviously we don't give the story justice.
I'm sure he's going to message me and tell me that we told the story wrong, but, I think we got as close to it as we possibly could. So the drugs are kicking in now. So,
you know, it's kind of cool, you know, going back and really thinking about, you know, seeing him live in the times I got to play. It was cool to kind of just go through, you know, who Fingers was and what he contributed to, you know, to JB's band.
Totally.
You know, this has been a fun podcast for sure. You know, I know we've been talking about this one for a long time, and there's so much more out there. I mean, we could probably do a whole second one on him.
He's the goat. He's the harpoon goat, man. He's awesome. And you know,
what about Jay? What about now? You know, like I know he's been, you know, he's had Alzheimer's now for, I mean, if 2011, I think he was diagnosed, 2013, I think you said, it really, you know, it really affected him. So, I mean, it's been 10 years. And, you know, I think part of the stuff too, you know, if you guys don't know you know, Fingers obviously has Alzheimer's. You know, I don't know. I wish there was something they could do, because it's a shame. You know, it's sad.
I mean, that, you know, it's a really tough disease. And, you know, I know people, friends and stuff who, you know, have had parents and things like that. And, you know, I can't even imagine. But for me, you know, what's really important is just, you know, keep putting Fingers out there and keep exposing Fingers and, you know, keep letting people, you know, enjoy his talent and appreciate him. And, you know, honestly, that's why I came up with Fingers Friday, you know, online when I did, because I felt like there was almost like a shift that people had kind of really like forgot about him in some ways. And I really just wanted to highlight him, and, you know, because I just loved him so much, a part of the band and of the sound and all of that. So it was really important to me to highlight him. And, man, I don't know, man, people are catching on, man. Fingers Friday is like something people kind of look forward to. And it's definitely fun to like look through old clips and, you know, go through old bootlegs and shit like that. And, you know, I'm really excited for things to come for Fingers. You know, I think we're working on, for songwriters, you know, when we launch in April, that, you know, we're going to do something really to honor, him and celebrate him. And, you know, I'm working with Steven and stuff like that. So, you know, it's been really
fun. You know, and because you said that, you know, it's cool because through this, you know, we've gotten to meet Steven, his son, who's an unbelievable blues guitarist. And, you know, he just put out his new album.
It's awesome.
The coolest thing about it is, well, two things is, so Fingers' first album he did, Harpoon Man, the actual album, the LP, Steven took the color scheme, the design of that album cover and basically tributed it to his new Touch and Go album. And then he's got a song on there, You'll Live On, which is, I think, did he get the track from Roger?
If I'm like not mistaken. Bootleg from Roger of
like a master thing super cool. You know, and incorporated into the song, really? Which is just like, I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. You know,
live on. It's awesome.
And it's cool. It's just, it's unreleased, you know, Fingers. So it's cool that he was able to do that. You know, so it's cool that, you know, we've kind of connected back, and, you know, I got to meet Steven last year in Key West, and, you know, in a discussion we had earlier, you know, he had said that, you know, when I told him I had a bunch of signed stuff, he's like, man, he goes, you know, I don't have anything signed for my dad. And I had like two or three Larry and the Raspberry albums, and I had them signed, and I, you know, I gave him one, and I said, you know, if anybody should have you should have this.
He's such a good friend.
So, I just, you can't take it with you, man. You know, it's like, it means more to him than it does to me, you know? And it's just,
I was going to say, just you better start coughing up some more set lists then, bro.
Yeah.
No.
With you, I'll man. Roll up to you.
It's been fun, man, and I'm looking forward to the future, and, you know, just keeping Fingers alive and, you know, honoring him, and it's all about the music, you know.
Always, man. It's been a pleasure, Jay. I love having these chats
cheers
with
you, and cheers to Fingers fucking Taylor, and party on, Twan.
Party on, Jay.
Thanks for listening to the Full Button Podcast presented by The Songwriters Joint. Follow The Songwriters Joint on Facebook and Instagram for amazing content that features Marvin Gardens and all of his songwriting friends. Let's get together.